Hello and welcome to the Remote Distributed Teams and Future of Work podcast show by Turing. I'm your host, Murray Newlands, and I'm joined today by Turing CEO, Jonathan Siddharth. The future of work is boundaryless. We don't really like distributed or remote. There's a sense of those being somehow lesser than people being together. We like to think about boundaryless. What does it mean to truly unleash the possibilities of what's possible for your company with amazing talent from around the world? Jonathan, I'd love you to introduce yourself and the concept behind Turing.
Welcome everybody. I'm Jonathan Siddharth, CEO and co-founder of Turing. My co-founder Vijay and I are repeat entrepreneurs. Our last AI startup that we came up with out of Stanford had a successful acquisition a couple of years back. Turing was our second company to get. We are here today because the world has changed. There's a massive shift today in how we build tech companies. The old way of building a tech company was you would hire locally and everyone worked from one office. The new way is for companies to tap into the global talent. Now, remote distributed teams, or as you would say, boundaryless teams, are the way to build unicorns. The winners have adapted to the shift already. Stripe recently announced that their next engineering hub is going to be completely remote. Stripe CTO was asked, why are they doing this? And he said, Stripe wants to be where 99.7% of where the world's talented developers live, which is not in Palo Alto. The companies that haven't adapted to the shift are slowly dying. In Silicon Valley, talent is oxygen, and these companies are suffocating. I know what you're all thinking. If remote distributed teams are the way of the future, then why isn't every tech company built this way today? And the reason is there are a whole bunch of roadblocks for companies that want to be like Stripe, that want to go remote. And there are three primary roadblocks. It's hard to find remote talent. You don't know where to look. In the Bay Area, you can use all these filters like, I'm going to hire people who went to Stanford. I'm going to hire people who went to Berkeley or people who worked at Google, Facebook, etc. If you're hiring from East Africa, good luck with that. Second, it's really hard to vet talent that is remote. When you're local, you have the luxury of bringing people in for an on-site interview and doing your 6 to 7 hour thing on the whiteboard. How are you going to do that when you're hiring somebody from Kosovo? How do you vet for technical skills remotely? How do you vet for communication skills remotely? And do you even know what to test for somebody to be an effective remote employee? Third, managing a remote team is really hard. It's how do you build trust? How do you make decisions? How do you create a shared sense of culture? How do you create a sense of belonging? How do you unblock an engineer who's remote? How do you do effective onboarding for remote employees? These are all hard, hard questions. How do you replicate the magic of serendipitous water cooler conversations when you're a remote distributed team? Finding remote talent is hard. Vetting remote talent is hard. Managing remote talent is really, really hard. And this is why we started Turing. We lived and breathed this pain at our last startup. And maybe we can get into this later on in the podcast. I can share some stories from our last company. And that was the moment of inception for Turing. I mean, we woke up and smelled the coffee. We couldn't hire in the Bay Area. Hiring talent in the Bay Area is costly and hard. And it puts many companies at financial risk. And hopefully in these series, we can share some of these best practices and pitfalls to avoid for anyone building tech teams and amazing products in Silicon Valley.
So give me an example. I'm an entrepreneur. I have a startup. Maybe I've got it going. I've got some local developers. And I'm thinking, hey, I need to build new product. I'm trying to change the world with my company. What do I need to think about when I think about hiring a boundaryless team? What are the key factors?
That's a great question, Marie. So if you're an entrepreneur with an idea and you want to bring that out to market, I would start first by thinking about what the minimum viable product is, or what people call an MVP. The first thing you should be thinking about is, how quickly can I build this MVP, put it out there, get feedback that tells me if I'm on the right track? You should be optimizing for one thing and one thing only, and that's speed. And if what you shouldn't do is spend several months or a couple of months looking for the right engineer to hire, fiddling around with a recruiter, or trying to hire people full time and slow yourself down. What you should do is hire amazing remote talent from platforms like, there are many, many good platforms there. There's Turing, there's Upwork, there's a few others. Look at platforms like that. Hire teams to explore multiple ideas in parallel, so you get the benefit of speed. So if you're thinking, should I build A or B or C? Don't go serially, build all three in parallel. And hire specialists so that you can, again, get your idea built out very, very quickly so you can validate it. Instead of hiring a generalist to build a web app and then having them, maybe this person hasn't built a mobile app before, having them bumble along and build an iOS app and then an Android app, don't do that. Hire an amazing full stack developer, hire an amazing iOS developer, hire an amazing Android developer. Build all, if you're not clear what platform to go on, build all of those in parallel quickly and test them. So I would start by exploring ideas in parallel. In terms of the team itself, and what to look for, you should look for, beyond the obvious technical skills, I would say look for somebody who has excellent communication skills. And when I say communication skills, I don't mean just English communication skills. I'm not talking about just being able to understand English really well, being able to speak English well. Obviously, you need that. But I mean somebody who's very proactive in their communication. Somebody who, when you give them a certain spec, a certain product requirement, somebody who asks questions about the customer to better understand what needs to be built. Pick somebody like that. By far, I would say the three things to look for in an effective boundaryless employee are technical skills, communication skills, and, for lack of a better word, self-discipline. Somebody who's gonna work consistent hours, not miss a stand-up, be very intentional in their communication, who clarifies points of ambiguity very, very quickly, and who gets the big picture, so you don't have to micromanage them as much.
Okay, so let's say you're a startup, you're a founder, you decide to go through that route. How do investors feel about this? Because one of the things that I've heard a lot of founders say is they want to build a team locally, and they feel that if they seem to be outsourcing it, then investors will look negatively upon this.
Yeah. I mean, when we started Turing, a lot of the VCs that we spoke with in the early days who passed on Turing would say, in a startup, everyone in the company should be working from the same office. What do you mean remote? Like, if you're, I mean, remote teams are not ideal for startups. And it's fascinating to see the trend and the shift in VC mindset towards remote. Now, there are still some investors who feel that way, but that set is rapidly shrinking. I predict 2 years from now, remote first will be the default for startups. It's inevitable. The primary concerns VCs have about remote teams, and some of these are valid concerns, are being rapidly mitigated by a variety of solutions. One concern people have with remote teams is ownership of IP. Another concern VCs have is, would this make the company hard from an to be sold from an M&A standpoint? As you know, in Silicon Valley, acquihires are a thing. Would an acquihire possibility be negatively impacted for a remote distributed team? That's a valid concern that some people have. A third concern that VCs have is, in a startup where speed is everything, when you're remote and distributed, is your communication bandwidth going to be needlessly choked? Is it going to be hard for you to keep your company and team in sync and aligned to be working together as one unit when you're flung across 7 different time zones? So those are the three concerns: IP, M&A, and communication, collaboration, friction. So to the first point, at Turing, this is why we have remote employees sign confidentiality and IP assignment agreements with customer companies, just like they would do for their regular employees. So those, that's easily addressed. To the second concern about potentially complicating M&A possibilities, I think that's a valid concern. And even for that, we are reaching a stage where there are good precedents for this, where there are ways to solve this, where you buy out the, you can convert your remote employees to your own full-time employees if you wanted to go that route. At the end of the day, I'll say if an acquirer is interested in your company solely for your team, it's probably not a great outcome for VCs or the founders anyways. You're talking about a very low exit amount. And in that scenario, does an acquirer really care that this person was an employee versus a contractor, or converting them to a contractor? I doubt that's going to be a deal breaker. It's just a technicality. So I don't really think that's a big deal. And thirdly, on the communication and collaboration front, we see a whole category of companies crop up in the last couple of years to tackle this head on for specific verticals. And our team at Turing, with Oliver and Miriam, they've compiled this amazing boundaryless category ecosystem landscape chart, which I encourage all of you to see. And let's link it in the show notes,
yeah,
where you can see multiple companies like Notion, Slack, Zoom, Tandem, tackle different subsegments of bridging the gap between remote and local teams. So I think the gap is going away.
Excellent. So we've talked about very small, getting started, getting your first product out there. Thinking about a company as it grows, how would you grow your team with both local and boundaryless talent?
So as your startup grows, a lot of the things that you did in a somewhat ad hoc manner need to be codified and documented so that it can be consistently replicated and scaled across the organization. I'll give you an example. So at Turing, for our first 10 people or so, our onboarding process involved conversations with me, my co-founder, and some of the early team members, and that was it. Culture was something that was communicated on an ongoing basis. It wasn't something that was codified and shared. Today at Turing, we have an onboarding document and a culture talk that we have, that we've recorded, that we ensure every new hire goes through. So have an onboarding checklist, have a culture document or a guide that lets you speed up the process of getting someone up to fully ramp. The onboarding should have things like, what are some things this person needs to know about the company, its goals for the next quarter and for the next year? What does the company's org chart look like? Who owns what in the company in terms of responsibilities? How do you make decisions when faced with uncertainty and ambiguity? What's your framework for making decisions? If there is something that's unique about your company, communicate that to that new hire. And this culture document and these onboarding documents are living, breathing documents. This is not Moses coming down with a tablet. This is very much a notes app on your iPhone. So keep editing it as you come up with something different that you think should be a part of the filter function for your company. and take input from your team to make it better. You don't hire people to follow the culture that you set for them. You hire people to contribute to the culture that you want your company to have.
So if you're managing an existing team, how do you introduce the concept and new team members who are from around the world and make sure that the existing team members are happy with this process and don't feel scared, don't feel afraid, don't feel they're going to be replaced?
You're touching on something really interesting, Marie. And to zoom out a little bit, there's this notion in Silicon Valley that remote employees are somewhat second rate, second class citizens of the team. There's this divide in the minds of some people that, you know, whoever's working from Palo Alto, they are our core team. And these other people we are having remote, they're like add-ons, they're adjuncts. They don't really matter. Like, they work on the boring stuff. Let's give them the non-core items to work on. And that's a mindset that unfortunately exists in many places today because of the some legacy challenges that people have had with remote talent in the past. Many people have had negative experiences working with subpar talent, talent that didn't have good communication skills. So they have this at the back of their minds that you use remote work when you work on things just for the purposes of saving money. You think of remote work as, you think of outsourcing as something that you do to cut costs, not to deliver high quality products. That's wrong. The way to think about it is, are you going to get the best talent if you restrict your hiring radius to 20 miles from company headquarters? Or are you going to get the best talent if you have your hiring radius be the entire planet? Obviously, the answer is the latter. If you take that mindset, there's no distinction between hiring somebody in Palo Alto versus hiring somebody from Poland or hiring somebody from Sao Paulo or hiring somebody from Beijing. They're all part of the team, have the same high, exceptional fucking hiring bar that you have. Sorry, I said the F word. Is that okay?
That's okay.
Okay. Have the same hiring bar, have the same insanely high hiring bar, and don't let mediocre people in. Don't let a mediocre people in Palo Alto. Don't hire a mediocre engineer in Palo Alto and don't hire a mediocre engineer in Beijing.
If you have a local team and you're going to hire a boundaryless team, what are your tips on getting the teams to work together and shipping amazing product?
There are two things you need to get right. Number one, make sure you communicate your goals clearly. Number two, make sure that the company as a whole has the right communication architecture. At Turing, for example, we have quarterly goals that are framed as OKRs, and we translate that to monthly OKRs. These are shared as a Trello board across the company. So anyone in the company can see what the company's main priorities are, and you can drill down and see that at a group level. So we make all of this visible. In a local team, you might get away with not documenting things like this because you can walk around and ask somebody, hey, what are you working on? What are your team's priorities for this week? In a remote distributed team, you have to be very intentional about putting things down in very clear and concise ways and communicating that widely across the organization. So that's number one. People should know what the company's main goals are at any point in time. Number two, design your communication architecture. You have to think about building your company the same way you think about building a product. Essentially, you're building the machine that builds the product. And the way to do that is to set the right feedback loops in place. The way we do that at Turing is to ensure that we do weekly sprints. So every week, Every project has a review of what was done last week, the plan for this week, and a fully functioning demo of what was built last week. So there's rapid feedback loops where we are constantly assessing if we're building something that's moving the needle for the company. Have an all-hands meeting without fail every week. Have a weekly leadership meeting with the executive team every week. For some teams, daily stand-ups help for everyone to stay aligned. So do that. Also be intentional about making communication asynchronous wherever possible. In cases where you would have done a phone call or where you would talk to somebody, think of a way to have that documented somewhere or in a Slack channel somewhere, so it's easier for other people to refer to that same communication.
So let's say I understand all of this and I'm thinking about hiring a boundaryless team, but I'm just scared to do it because they haven't done it before. What would you say to that person that's sitting there, you're listening to this podcast, you're thinking about doing it, but you're used to hiring locally and having someone sit next to you? What would be the one thing that you would say to convince someone, hey, you should do it?
I would say your biggest fear should be not building the product that you're imagining fast enough and getting it out to the market quick enough so that you don't miss a key market window. Companies lose billions of dollars if they don't get the right product out to market at the right time. That's what you're really scared about, right? And in a world where it takes months to hire that perfect engineer, there's a huge risk that you'll miss your moment to market. A competitor can beat you to the punch. Your market window may close. Anything can happen. So I would say, if you are hesitating, think about the cost to hesitating. Right? You might lose the war while you're thinking about this. So I'd say jump right in, and this is why at Turing we have a 2-week trial period where you can work with somebody. And if you don't like the quality, you could stop and you pay zero. So we've even taken that fear away. I'd say get started, get your hands dirty. I mean, we're all engineers and we started doing things by building and tinkering, not by pondering and being trapped in a loop, analysis paralysis loop. So I'd refer them to our good friends over at Nike to do what they say and just dive right in. Because the real cost is you losing the opportunity to build the next billion-dollar company.
I think that's a great place to wrap it up. I'm Murray Newlands. I've been with Jonathan Siddharth, CEO and founder of Turing. You've been listening to the Remote Distributed Teams and Future of Work show. Please subscribe, and I look forward to speaking with you next time. Have a great day. Bye for now.
Bye. Thank you. And if you're listening to this podcast with Murray and me, and you're driving around, we are living the remote distributed lifestyle right now. Thank you.
Bye.